online
at bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is the UK's home of live news and live sport.
5 Live.
19 minutes past three, we'll be talking to Jason Reitman right now, who's made his directorial debut with Thank You for Smoking. It comes out here next week, although Jason was just telling me you've been touring this film as a kind of rock star director, really, who gives interviews for 10 months.
Yeah, not much of the rock star lifestyle, but we premiered at the Toronto Film Festival last September, where it was picked up by Fox Searchlight, and we've been slowly releasing since then.
And the notion of the film is that it's about a lobbyist who becomes basically a spin doctor for cigarettes. Although, interestingly, this friend of mine who's seen it tells me no cigarettes are smoked on screen.
Yeah, well, you know, the film is basically a libertarian political film whose attitude is not pro-smoking, but rather people should have the freedom to smoke if they want to. I think people are well aware of the dangers of cigarettes, and at this point, people should either smoke or not smoke. And I decided not to have any cigarettes actually smoked on screen because I didn't want people to walk away from the film thinking that it was either pro-smoking or anti-smoking, for that matter.
So it's more, rather than this being a didactic piece of work, this is just a bit of humor, is it?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a political satire. It's very funny. It's based on a hilarious book called Thank You for Smoking by Christopher Buckley, who's basically the preeminent American political satirist of the last decade or so. And yeah, I mean, it's a comedy first and a thoughtful film second.
So we should reveal then who your dad is, because comedy's really in the family, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
So if you didn't get it, Jason's dad is Ivan Reitman, who was in Ghostbusters as well. As did he direct?
He was not in Ghostbusters. He directed Ghostbusters.
Not even have a tiny role?
My father? No, was not in Ghostbusters.
There's no cameos there?
No, I promise. My father directed Ghostbusters, and more recently he directed Dave, as well as Twins, Kindergarten Cop. He produced Animal House. Directed Stripes.
Did you grow up in an era of filmmaking? Was filmmaking always part of the family?
Absolutely. I was on the set of Animal House when I was a baby. You can imagine the effect that had.
I was gonna... Yeah, that's why I was laughing, really. I've seen that film. I'm not sure that was the place for small children. So is that... But I can't get over that this is your directorial debut, because how old are you now?
I'm 28.
So do you not fancy it before, or have you been doing other things before?
You know, I started directing short films while I was in college. I've been directing commercials since then. I actually wrote this screenplay 6 years ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so it's taken a long time to get to screen. You know, it's a tricky film in that it never apologizes for itself. The main character, Nick Naylor, who's the head lobbyist for Big Tobacco, never apologizes, never sees the light. He never quits tobacco and goes to work for the Red Cross or something like that.
It's been received incredibly well in America, I understand, audience-wise.
Yes, we've done very well. I mean, it was a very small film done completely independently. It was then picked up by 20th Century Fox and distributed, and we've done well, and it's been well received.
But if ever there was a country that was totally anti-smoking...
Yeah, well, I think, I guess perhaps America's a little more self-aware than everyone thinks, you know. America's absolutely caught up in a hysteria over telling Americans how to live and whether or not they should be smoking, but they see the humor in it.
For a first-time director, you seem to gather quite a fairly high-powered cast. Just reveal who's in the film.
Well, the film stars Aaron Eckhart. Surrounding him are Robert Duvall, Katie Holmes, Sam Elliott, Rob Lowe, Maria Bello, Adam Brody, Dennis Miller.
So how did you get them all?
William H. Macy. You know, they love the script, and I think that in large part is due to the fantastic book that it was based on.
I heard a story that you wrote individual letters to some of them. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. You know, people don't write letters anymore. Maybe they do in England, but in the U.S., people don't write anymore. They write emails, but they don't write letters. And I wrote letters to each actor explaining what they meant to me as actors, as performers, and why I thought I couldn't possibly do my film without them.
I love the way that people get people like that involved. There's some great stuff. We interviewed Mike Myers once.
Yeah.
And asked him how he got all those people to do the cameos at the beginning of Goldmember.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, just phone them up. I literally just got their numbers and I phoned them.
Yeah, I think Mike Myers probably pulls a little more weight than I do. But
you know, there's the bit on the DVD of School of Rock. Have you seen School of Rock with Jack Black?
Yes, of course.
Where they record a special message to Led Zeppelin so that they can persuade Led Zeppelin to release a track. Led Zeppelin.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah, and they recorded it as part of it. They've got the live audience and it's when the band play live. And he recorded it saying, we need you. We need your track. And they posted it up.
Great.
Posted off a little DVD.
Well, people believe it and they want to be involved in good things. I think what's become tricky is that there's so much crap out there that... it makes people want to get involved. And fortunately, we had many great actors who came on early. You know, Robert Duvall was the second actor to say yes to this film, and I can't tell you how much easier it is to go to other actors and say, by the way, Robert Duvall's in this. Would you want to do this?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's the selling thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing when we know when we're sat at home discussing what we might go and see at the cinema. You know, what should we go and see Friday night? Well,
right.
What about blah? Well, who's in it? It's the first question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if it's no one you've heard of, no, I'm bothered.
Well, we got someone for every age. We have Robert Duvall for one age group. We got Adam Brody and Katie Holmes for the other.
And I mean, I say it's been received really well around the world. Has it staggered you? I suppose not really, because maybe you grew up with it, but I always seem to be staggered by how long it takes. We spoke to Zach Braff, who did Garden State.
Right.
And I mean, he was having to beg, steal, and borrow just for the soundtrack, never mind the actual film. The funding of film seems to be a real issue these days, especially small projects like this. I mean, you've been picked up by Fox now, and that's great, because that means your worries are pretty much over in terms of distribution and making sure people get to see it. But in terms of getting it shot in the first place.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, my film was funded by one of the creators of PayPal, which is how you pay for things on eBay. He and his partner sold PayPal to eBay for $1.5 billion, and at that point, he decided he wanted to make films. He wanted to finance and produce movies, and, you know, breathed life into this film. He was my white knight.
So how much did the... Don't be put off by the people walking into the studio, by the way.
Yeah, seriously, are you ganging up on me now?
I know, I noticed that rattled you, but take a notice of them. They're nowhere near as important as you are right now in my world.
I can imagine, I can imagine.
How much did it cost to make this? If you don't
it
mind
was me. Made for $6.5 million.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? And what's the US box office already?
So far, $23
million. Did you do a George Lucas and negotiate a point?
I'm sorry?
Did I negotiate
I couldn't negotiate anything. All I wanted to do was get this movie made. From now on, hopefully I'll be able to do better for myself.
So what's the next project?
Well, I've started a company called Hard Sea. We have a deal over at Fox, and we're just making subversive comedies. I'm writing something. We've hired a few writers. Actually, while I'm here in town, I'm trying to meet young British comedians. And
have you met any?
Not yet.
You should do. There's plenty of good talent around. I'm really serious.
Believe you
really
me, I'm a fan. Around. I can't watch The American Office. I like the original.
Have you heard of a guy called Milton Jones?
No.
Very, very dry stand-up. Really good.
I'll try to meet him.
He's got a show on Radio 4. You should look out for him. Obviously, Jimmy Carr's doing well. You know Jimmy Carr?
No, I don't.
Okay, he's doing really well. He's been in a couple of films.
You're making me feel very ignorant here.
Well, no, because you're only over for how long? How long are you in?
I'm here for a week.
People don't understand what happens with these film guys, whether it's directors or actors. Or talent, I do believe, the company would like to refer to you as. You come in, do 3 days in the Dorchester Hotel, never see anything of London, never mind the rest of the UK, and disappear. That's it, isn't it? That's pretty much what these things are like.
Yeah, but this city means a lot to me. This is the city where I said I love you to my wife for the first time. It has a strong place in my heart. In fact, for my birthday this last year, my wife's gift to me was a trip to London to see the Chemical Brothers at Brixton Academy. So this city is very dear to me. This is not simply a stop on the tour.
Brilliant. Back with another of those.
Was that good, by the way? Was that, yeah. Did I work your audience well enough there? Or?
Yeah. The only thing you could have done more was to go, hello, London.
Yeah, exactly. I won't be that guy.
Do you smoke?
Actually, no. I tried smoking when I was 15 or so, and it hurt too much. I'm a little too soft for that.
But for a man who writes biting satire, you're actually quite a soft romantic from what you've just said.
Yeah, no, that's the truth.
That's the picture of you. Jason Reitman. Well, look, when's it out? 16th?
16th.
So that's not a couple of weeks away, isn't it?
That's in a couple weeks, although tonight we're playing at the Filmstock Festival in, is it Luton?
Yeah, have you been to Luton before?
Tonight will be my first time.
Oh, you'll enjoy Luton.
I'm very excited about that.
Got a really good one-way system. That's all I'm saying.
Very excited about that.
Thank you very much indeed for coming to talk to us. Jason Reitman, and it's called Thank You for Smoking. It's out on the 16th.
Germany 2006. No one gets you closer to the World Cup than 5 Live. And if you want to get even closer, sign up for our new daily 5 Live Wire, a roundup of the news and gossip from Germany, from our correspondents, the teams, the training camps, and the treatment rooms. Plus, you can tell us how, when, and where you'll be experiencing the World Cup and what you know about the teams that we don't. To get 5 Live Wire delivered to your inbox before the first game each day, go online, bbc.co.uk/5live.
The Omen comes out on, you've guessed it, the 6th of the 6th, 06. It stars Pete Postlethwaite, and when I spoke to him earlier, I asked him if he didn't think that remaking such a classic might have been a bit of a risk.
Oh, well, I like risks. I don't mind risks.
Right.
All you people there at Epsom today must love risks.
That's true.
No, one of the reasons I did it was because I'd worked with John Moore, before, some time ago now, and when I knew he was wanting to do this, I thought, well, I'll go along for that ride. I never really thought about the fact that it was a remake. We were just making a film, as far as I was concerned. Just happened to be called The Omen.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, Pete. We spoke to Kurt Russell earlier in the week, and you know Poseidon's out today.
Oh, yeah?
And he said the same thing. He said they didn't really approach it as a remake of a classic. They approached it as just making a new film.
Absolutely. That's the way to go.
So, how similar is it to the original?
I think it's quite faithful, but I think what he's done is he's dragged it screaming into the 21st century, I think. It's the brackets, the way he's set it up, the images that... he uses very much of the 21st century, and it means that the thing is happening now and not in 1976, which I think is rather fantastic.
So we should explain to people, because obviously it's not out yet, is it? It's out. We'll talk about the release date, because that in itself is special. We'll talk about that in a moment. But
yeah.
We should explain to people who you are in this film.
I play Father Brennan, who is... a Catholic priest who was involved with the cult of 666, obviously very early on when it was all happening, but then realizes that his soul is going to be damned eternally if he doesn't do something about the evil that is unleashed with the birth of the mystical child. So he's desperate to save his own soul, and therefore tries to approach the father of the child to tell him that he's got to do something about it. Unfortunately, I don't make it through the film, so... things get from bad to worse.
I remember when the original came out, I was only little, but I remember at school, any kid in the class that was called Damien, his life became hell.
I'm not surprised. This little chap they found to do this Damien is quite extraordinary. John has drawn an extraordinary performance out of it. And it was interesting, we had the original Damien came to see a preview of this one. I think he's going to do a big article about it himself. He's in his mid-30s now, I think. And he was knocked over by it. So it's.
So how old's the guy that's playing it now?
He's about 11, I think, 10 or 11.
Right, and had he acted before?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. He's not a Macaulay Culkin or anything like that.
No.
Cute little chap, really good.
Is it quite harrowing for someone of that age to be on a set of this nature, or is it all smoke and mirrors and actually it's not that scary when you're filming?
He seemed to take it in his stride. He seemed to be having a jolly good time. In fact, it is weird. You do get asked if you're doing a film which is dealing with the occult and mysteries and psychological warfare and all this kind of stuff, does it get to you? But in fact, you're so tied up with the minutiae of the details, and the devil's in the details, obviously.
In more ways than one.
in this case. you just carry on and do your work. You don't get... I certainly didn't. I didn't get tremors or sleepless nights or nightmares.
So nothing spooky happened whilst you were making it?
Well, other than one major stunt that took us about 20 hours to do, didn't work, so we had to do it again.
Right.
That was a big setback.
But that could happen on any film.
On anything at all, whatsoever. Like Macbeth in the theatre, you know.
None of those techies decided to hold a seance or anything?
Not that we know of, anyway. Right. I don't speak Czech, so I don't know what a lot of them are saying when we're out in Prague, but I don't think there was anything untoward.
Is that where it was filmed?
Yeah. Most of it was shot in Prague. Yeah.
And predominantly using a local crew?
Yes, yeah.
Is there an advantage to that, to certain films, in terms of tax breaks and things?
I imagine so. I mean, I don't kind of involve myself with that kind of thing, but I don't really know why they did it in Prague. Presumably it's a financial thing, I don't know. London's very, very difficult to film in, isn't it, though, I think? So I'm told.
So when you say John Moore's dragged this kicking and screaming into the 21st century, does that mean it is scarier? Because, I mean, a lot of modern films now, they use quicker cuts, faster edits.
There is that to it. I must admit, it had me jumping out of my seat a couple of times, which I wasn't expecting, because I'd read the script, for God's sake.
You knew what was coming.
No, supposedly, but I didn't. there's some fantastic stuff in it. There really is. I'm not just saying that because I'm in it. It is a good couple of hours in the cinema.
Did you, obviously you said you first got attached to it through John Moore, the director.
Yeah.
And would you have done it regardless then? I mean, once you found out, is that pretty much a clincher for you? Is it who's directing or...?
Well, partly, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why you do things. I mean, I've never really done anything quite like Father Brennan before as well. I mean, a guy who is so driven and so meets such an untimely end. So there was that to it as well. It was just one of those things that seemed to make sense at the time. That's what I should do, and that's why I did it, really. Well, it's a bit like asking a centipede which leg it sets off with, really, isn't it? It's got 50 on either side, it just goes, really.
I must remember that next time I interview a centipede. That'll come very useful.
That's it. You won't ask that question.
Pete, in terms of being a British actor doing big films, you seem to me to have an uncanny knack of being able to choose parts that are all very different from each other. Sometimes the danger with Hollywood is they see a British actor and they go, well, either you're a romantic lead or you're a villain, and that's it.
Yeah, it's one to avoid, I think, really. And that's probably about the only conscious decision I make when I'm looking at a project, is have I done this before? Is it anything like I've done before? And the further away from anything that is that I've done before, then the better, the more I like it. I think that's what's been great about what's happened to me, really, that there has been such a variety of things, all across the spectrum, from, you know, one-man shows in theatre to TV to films, art house, blockbusters, whatever, you know. It's always been down to the script, the people involved in it, and what it's trying to say.
And how difficult is that for you to manage, Pete? We had Rufus Sewell on the programme recently, and he said that he doesn't worry about being out of work until it's been 12 months.
Oh, gosh. I think I'd pack up if I was out of work for 12 months.
Yeah, me too.
I'd start to really question whether I was cutting the mustard. I've been lucky enough, in a way, Chris, because that's never happened to me. So I'm purposely taking a couple of months out now just to take stock and have a break and go on a family holiday in August. So, but normally I'm full on most of the time.
Let's talk a bit about the release date of this film, then. They've
six,
managed to time six, it,
six.
Yeah.
Yes, the dreaded number.
Yeah, six, I mean, six. Had that been a while in the planning? Did they just
discuss that with you? They did the same or similar when they did it in 76. They opened it on the 6th of the 6th, 76.
Right.
It just happens it's the 6th of the 6th of the 6th now, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have their own opinion, but my opinion of the film and what it speaks to me about is that the devil is already released in the world at the minute. The way that the powers that be are actually driving us into situations where carnage, disaffectation, humiliation is being poured around the world. It seems to me the devil's out there and he's got a human face and we need to look at it. That's what The Omen says to me.
That's quite a deep statement.
Well, that's what it means to me.
Yeah.
It's out there. I think The Omen is an allegory for something rather real, very, very real, in fact, and something that we need to address, and as quickly as possible, please.
So the film's out on the 6th of June, which is next Tuesday, and you've got a family holiday, and then what? Do you know what your next script is?
No, no idea.
So you're on the lookout for a good yarn?
Never on the lookout. They tend to find me.
Did they? Good.
Hopefully, anyway.
Good. Well, if you've got a good script and you'd like Pete to be in it, then you've got to find him. That's your mission.
That's it.
Pete, lovely talking to you. Thanks for joining us on Five Live this afternoon.
Take care. God bless.
And because it's Friday and it is the Mayo programme that we're doing, then of course we couldn't end the week without telling you what's on at the movies. And James King's made his way down. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you.
And like me, you've not been here before. How you find it?
Well, I mean, I have to put on a suit to start us to get here, and I didn't own one until about 2 hours ago. And I was going to get changed in the toilet on the train. Train didn't have a toilet, had to get changed in the carriage. I made apologies to everyone else in the carriage first up, because I knew I wouldn't be let into the place if I didn't have a suit on, so I had to get that thing on. So I apologise, and I hope there's not CCTV on the train from London Bridge to Tattenham Corner.
Did you do what your mum always told you to do and have a clean pair on?
Thankfully, yes.
Right, Jason Weaver, it seems only fair. You've been giving us tips, albeit duff, all afternoon. So we should give you tips for what you might want to go and see at the cinema this weekend. You like movies?
I do like movies, yeah.
Last one you saw, can you remember the last time you went to the cinema?
It's a long, long time ago. Probably something like the re-release of The Exorcist. I think I told my better half that it was the most scariest movie I've ever seen. And, of course, that was many moons ago when I watched it through the gaps in my fingers. And then we went to watch it, and it was just laughable at the cinema, the re-release. Not scary anymore.
The fanfare you can hear is because I think we're going to get the formal presentation of the cups, aren't we, in a moment, including the Coronation Cup, so we'll bring that to you on the programme. Let's run through the top 10 box office movies, first of all, with a comment from James on each. At 10, Waiting.
Which is a good little indie movie about working in a restaurant. Actually, Ryan Reynolds stars. He's great, especially if you've worked in a restaurant, you've been a waiter, you'll appreciate this, so not bad.
At 9, Friends with Money.
Jennifer Aniston is a great comedy actress. She's not getting the vehicles, really, but she is very good in this.
At 8, Ice Age 2, Meltdown.
Which I really like, good fun.
Seven Prime, which I really liked.
Yeah, Uma Thurman stars in that. Again, she's good. The actual movie itself, not quite as good. But Uma Thurman's next movie, I think, called Super Ex-Girlfriend, is out in the summer. That's the one that's going to be a huge hit.
And it's not as syrupy as most romantic comedies, this, which is why I liked it. Although Mark Kermode now says he's fallen out with you because you like it.
Yeah, well, we fall out all the time. I mean, that's just a weekly thing.
We're halfway through the top 10 box office films in the UK at the moment, and we've got as far as number 6, which is Curious George, James King.
Yeah, which is a cute little animation. Works really well for young kids. Jack Johnson does the score as well, which is good fun.
At 5, I don't know how we pronounce this, Fana, is it?
Yeah, it's a Bollywood movie, which I haven't actually seen, so we'll move on to number 4, which is...
Mission Impossible 3. I liked it. In fact, I loved it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really, really good too. J.J. Abrams, the guy who did Lost, the guy who did Felicity on the telly, Alias, he's the man behind this new Mission Impossible, and he's done a really good job of making it sexy again.
That's the one you want to take Mrs. Jason to, Mission Impossible 3. There's something for everyone in that, and it just flies by. It's action from start to finish.
Okay, yeah, I'll be up for a bit of that, actually. Is that the top tip? Is that the nap?
That's good fun. Now, I mean, if I tell you to go and see Mission Impossible 3, you've now got to give me a dead cert so I can make some money out of this thing.
Mate, he hasn't had a dead cert all afternoon.
You boys are having a shocker. I'm going to come good, don't worry. This is it. We're in this for the long haul, not just for this short, oh, you've had a couple of losers, Weaver.
At 3, The Wild.
Which is not a great Disney movie. It's out there for half term. It does the job for half term, but really it's not one of their classics.
At 2, The Da Vinci Code.
Which I thought was okay. You know, it's lots of people are having a go at it, and lots of so much hype that the critics are always going to have a go at it. But it's an okay movie.
Now, she might fancy that more, to be honest.
Possibly, yeah. You know, she's a very complex character. I better be careful what I say.
Is she listening?
Of course, of course. She'll be tuned in. The phone will be going now in a minute.
And at number 1, yeah, be another duff tip. And at number 1, I'm so mean to you. Jason's been so kind to you all afternoon. I should mind my manners. The top film in the UK top 10 box office is X-Men The Last Stand, which I've not seen.
Which is okay, actually. I don't think it's as good as the last two X-Men. But, you know, it does the job because the same people are in it. You've got Wolverine, who is a fantastic character. You've got Ian McKellen in there. You've got Patrick Stewart in there. And that's why it's good. Not as good as the other two, but does the job.
Okay, so how many new films are there this week?
Absolutely loads, but I'm not going to have a chance to do all of them. So we'll do the biggies, shall we?
We're going to do 2 or 3, are we?
Okay, yeah.
And the biggies, okay. So we'll kick off with Poseidon. Before we do that, James King's very gallantly gone and put a suit on for us. Apologies to you if you were in his carriage on the train when you were distressed at him getting changed into his suit from his scruffs. But the week's movies, we've done the top 10 box office for you. So now we're going to look at two of the key new releases. We'll start off with Poseidon.
Yeah, obviously this is a remake. The original came out in 72, The Poseidon Adventure. There's no adventure in the title. There's not much adventure in this movie, actually. It stars Kurt Russell and Richard Dreyfuss. The plot, you know, it's about a big cruise liner that sinks, several people trying to escape from that.
That's a clip from Poseidon, which is out today. I saw this earlier in the week because, of course, we had Kurt Russell on the programme on Tuesday, I think it was. And it's short, is one of his mercies. It's only 97 minutes. You get about 7 minutes of storyline before then the action kicks in. I quite enjoyed the action sequences. He was saying that, I mean, there was quite a lot of pressure in the underwater filming of this. If you missed the interview on Tuesday, he was saying that he was put underwater to film this and he wasn't allowed up for air. Someone went to him and gave him air when he needed it.
And there's another actor called Josh Lucas is in the movie who's also said, look, this is a chaotic shoot. You know, I'm never going to do a movie again where I have to work underwater because it was tough. I asked Kurt Russell why people should go and see this, and he said, well, you know, if they've got nothing better to do. So even Kurt isn't selling it that well. I mean, to be honest, I think it's like a 2-star movie. I think the action, as you said, is pretty good. There's some great claustrophobic scenes in like the lift shaft and in the ventilation ducts and all this kind of stuff. And the action, when it kicks in, is great. It's just that the characters are so sketchy because it is that short. You get the feeling that there must be some 3-hour director's cut, which is this huge summer blockbuster epic. But the version that's coming out today just feels like it was, you know, done in 5 minutes. It's a really quick, forgettable movie.
Jason Weaver, did you see the original Poseidon Adventure?
No, sorry. I'm not a film buff, you know, and, hopefully the tips are going to start warming up a little bit in a minute because I'm starting to feel left out in the crowd here, you know, and I'm getting plenty of stick from the boys. We're supposed to be a team, you know. Together, everyone achieves more.
I feel totally roused by that. Okay, so Poseidon is maybe worth a look, but it's for set-piece action only.
It's a DVD movie, to be honest. I think when this comes out to rent, it's going to be a lot more exciting than on the big screen.
Okay, so the next big release of the week is United 93, which has had a lot of publicity already. You tell us what it's about.
Well, it's about the fourth plane, September the 11th, 2001. We know about the two planes that went into the Twin Towers. We know about the one that crashed at the Pentagon. This is about the one that was bound for the White House. It never made it. And it's a fantastic movie. It's not a movie I wanted to see. It's not a movie that I thought was right to make, to be honest. But when you go and see it, it's really, really well done. It's almost done like a documentary. It's almost done like you're just eavesdropping on these different characters. And I think the plus side of the movie is that it does try to tell the whole story in a very balanced way. It's not in a soapbox, it's not taking sides, and it does it in a very quiet and measured way. So you get the terrorists, you get the people on the plane, you get the air traffic controllers, you get the military, all their different points of view throughout this day. It's shot in real time, so it's 111 minutes long, right from the moment the people are boarding United 93 right through to the moment when it crashes, which is just one of the most frightening, breathtaking scenes I've seen in a movie in a very long time. And it's not about the stars, it's not about glamorizing it, it is just about keeping the facts in there and letting you make your own mind up once you've seen it. And I think because it is done in a very measured way, you really do, you come out of that movie and you think about all the issues that it raises.
Now, the staggering thing about this movie is that they've used some of the people who were involved in the original incident. There's not all actors and actresses.
Yeah, and that really works, because a lot of the talk, the technical talk from the traffic controllers, from the military, I mean, it's so utterly believable. It's like watching CCTV that had been filmed at the time and it's been cut into a movie. And it does, the movie had to be believable. The director, Paul Greengrass, is an action movie director, but he's also a political director, and he knew that he had to make something that was real. And by getting those real people who were there on the day to recreate their experiences, he's really actually made something that is utterly, totally believable and gripping. I mean, even though you know the ending, you're sat there thinking, please, please don't crash. You know, you're really wrapped up in this story. So I didn't want to see it. I didn't think it was worth doing. But believe me, it's well worth seeing.
Okay, so Poseidon, he says, is a DVD movie. United 93, he says, will be a difficult watch, but it's well worth going to see if you can go and see that. James, thank you very much for coming down, talking us through the movies and the week's releases.